Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Michael Irvin here on a Monday afternoon. Michael is brought to you by Audie Marin and VW Marin, the Hall of Famer, the playmaker here with us, Damon Ratto and Kolsky. Michael, thank you for joining us, sir. How you doing? Oh, Michael, hello. Are you there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes. Can you guys hear me?
I got you now. We got you now. Thank you so much for joining us. You know, it was pretty surprising to watch the 49ers go and play a game in which they made Aaron Donald disappear. There aren't a lot of games where he is a low-impact performer, but he was. And as the 49ers were looking to answer some questions about their offensive line, you hold Aaron Donald back, that's a pretty good place to start.
That is a great place to start. And the guys did a good job in that game. So, you know, all of them, Chris does a good job. Oh, Troy, Tony certainly does a great job. But they were showing that. You know what I'm saying? They isolated and showed it. And sometimes they kept two people around, three people. But then sometimes it was one-on-one blocking. And they did it did a pretty good job. They did a great job against Aaron Donald. Kept him silent. You know. Now, guys, I just got to come on now. Because as I'm listening to the game, right, I'm listening to the game, I hear Chris say the same thing that I was saying to you guys. He said, Chris said, I was doing a lot of interviews in the Bay Area. And, boy, they're really after old Garoppolo. I said, I know what he's talking about. I know. And then Garoppolo shows up. And okay, now, what will you say about his play this time?
Well, there's no doubt. When he goes out and he executes like that, he stabilizes the 49ers offense more than Mullins, more than C.J. Beathard can be counted on to do it or asked to do. When he stays within himself and gets that ball out within under 3 seconds, Kyle right. Shanahan has his on-field coach. It really, you know what he is? He's a more glamorous Alex Smith in many ways.
Yeah. But you know what? And it's something that Kirk talked about the other day. Because remember when Mullins first played, Kirk came on and said, hey, you know, I may even play Mullins over Garoppolo, and he liked this game. But he was talking about sometimes you can have such a great coach, and you guys do, Shanahan's one of the best. He's such a great coach that he's always right in play calling. And the quarterback can get so used to it that he finds himself falling in love with the first option because the coach is always so great at play calling. And it's a detriment to the development sometimes of the guys that should be going through a process, which I thought that was fascinating. You know what I mean? I thought that was fascinating. And now I can look and see, okay, do I think a guy's really starting to learn and go through a process that he's reading things out and playing it and not just hearing it by what coach is saying? And I was looking for that, and I definitely think that Garoppolo has that. But Shanahan is such a great coach. I think he leans on it sometimes too much.
Do you get the sense, following up on what you just said, that Garoppolo is a guy who will do whatever he's told by his coach, but is not in and of himself a particularly good improviser?
Well, I won't say he's not. Well, and not good at improvising to the fact that to the place where that's when trouble starts. Yes, that's when trouble starts, when you improvise it. Now, there's a difference between improvising and going through the process of a read. You see what I mean? Sometimes, because you don't know how to go through that process of a read, you fall back on improvising and doing all kinds of things. But you want to learn how to go through that process. And that's how you become I think, like Kurt was talking about, one of the great quarterbacks. And I want him to say sometimes, let's go for the big thing. Let's go up top. And what we see in Mahomes and all these other guys, this is what's blowing everything for us. Because we want everybody to be Patrick Mahomes. We want everybody to be Patrick Mahomes. And I don't think that comes around but once in a lifetime.
Moving to the wide receiver position, I mean, so much of what the Niners do is just putting it in the hands of guys like Deebo Samuel and asking them to make a play. What goes through your head as a former receiver when you see a guy like Deebo seeking out contact and just punishing people?
And I love that. Remember we talked about that? Now, I'm telling you something, Ayuk is not a huge guy, but he's tough too. It's that toughness, and they play hard on the little reverses, and I love that. I love that Shanahan does that. And I'm going to tell you, that's what Stefanski's learning, too, out in Cleveland. You see how he's incorporating Odell and all of those reverses, because these are the coaches that, okay, they want to run the football. They want to run the football, but you got personalities and talent at the wide receiver position. You got to make sure you get them involved and giving them those opportunities. Like, we never really ran reverses or anything like that. You never did that. But now with all the misdirection and the eye candy that's going on and pre-shifts, it becomes something big in the league.
There is an awful lot of eye candy out there, pre-snap motion. It's just everywhere. And the best teams in football are embracing it the most. They really, truly are. We've got Michael Irvin joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Jason Verrett is a guy who battled back from several different injuries to get his body all the way right to play what has got to be one of the most demanding positions in all of football. I mean, corners got to run with their hips all swiveled. I mean, their knees, their ankles, their shins, everything's got to be adding up to running fast in all directions to be incredibly effective. And this young man looks all the way back, Michael. His interception was as big of a defensive play as any Niners made this year in the end zone.
It was. And that was an incredible play and an incredible story. You know, because when Chris was talking, they were talking about him and how, you know, he wanted to get his confidence getting back up and everything. And you could see, like, some of those things, you could tell he studies film. You could tell he's jumping things. He knows where it's going. He peeled off because that's a quick D corner combination that they're running. You know, they try to run a guy right down the line of scrimmage quick, and the corner's supposed to come up on the receiver in front of him because he has to play him, and he gets to throw that ball right in the corner behind him. But he knew that. He knew that, and he was in position to make the tackle if they threw the quick ball. But then as soon as he saw the ball release, he turned. He clued and got a jump on that interception. It was a great job. It was a great job. And it shows you that he is, like they said, getting his confidence back, where he's reading and believing what he sees and reads.
Based on what you saw last night, how did the 49ers not only take Aaron Donald out of the game, but basically took their entire defensive line out of the game? Was it simply just a function of running the ball and quick stuff out, you know, not lingering in the pocket? Or did they do anything particularly exotic that only somebody who's played the game would have been able to pick out?
And that's a great question. That's a great question. And I was trying to ascertain that as I watched. You know, as I watched, because Chris kept talking about it, and he would show the double team sometimes, and even would show with Kittle's kind of sitting back there and waiting to see if you come through this, you got to go through me too, you know. But then sometimes it was just one-on-one. it was just one-on-one, and it was still winning that one-on-one matchup with Aaron Donald. So I think it was a little bit of both. I think sometimes it's scheme, because if you're starting off early and you just see double team, triple team, double team, triple team, double team, double team, triple team, it takes a little sting off of you after going for a while doing that. And then after you take a little sting off, maybe you take a little few more chances and single him up. So I would say it was a little bit more of scheming, and the guys just played better.
I want to jump to the Titans Texans game, which was incredibly exciting. But fundamentally, when Derrick Henry at his size, obviously he's going to punish some people running in between the tackles. But then when he can also run away from you, how do you stop a guy that big and fast?
I know. It's incredible. He got another 90-something yard touchdown run. That big of a dude, you know, he runs, he hits that upright run. It reminds you a lot of Eric Dickerson, but just some more size. But he's just an incredible dude, man. That's an incredible runner. Now, I should just let it go, because the real truth is, Tannehill with Arthur Brown, A.J. Brown. That makes that a very good team, because A.J. Brown, when he's back with Tennessee, that makes it a very good team now. You guys, you want to go where you want to go, you're going to see Tennessee again. Tennessee will be in it.
So is Andy Dalton about to make the Dallas Cowboys a team that looks like the team that we saw before Dak got hurt? Might he actually, in a weird way, improve that? What are you expecting when the red shotgun shows up to start calling plays for the Cowboys?
Listen, and you know, it's so amazing how we get now. Let's just break this down. I'm an analyst that's analyzed, you know, and now everybody's so, they got the best backup in the league, and Andy Dalton here, and Andy Dalton this, and the Cowboys may be able to do this with Andy, and may be able to, let's remember where Andy was in Cincinnati. Let's remember who got the first pick. It was Cincinnati. The team that Andy led got that first pick. Now, he has more talent, you know, I believe, here offensively, but there are a lot more weaknesses here defensively, you know. And I heard Andy the other day say he wants to keep the offense the same. Like, you know, Dak was throwing for 370-something yards a game. There's no way Andy's going to do that. If he does do it, it cannot be with air yards where he's throwing it. It has to be with yak yards, with short passes and the receivers, yards after catch, yak yards. But I can't put – I don't know. I got to – as a fan, I got to just attach my faith to it. But as an analyst, it's like, don't bite that. Don't bite them donuts.
Let me follow up with this then, because, you know, there's an awful lot of talk about what Jerry is going to do to make right Dak Prescott after the compound fracture. As well as you know Jerry and the Cowboys and Dak, what is the right thing for them to do with him going forward?
You know, and this thing bothers me greatly here. You know, really, it had me dealing with some little bouts of trying to battle off a little bit of depression hitting me, because I just love the kid so much, you know. I really do. He's a good young man. I still don't call him a kid. I'm just an old man. But a good man. He's a good man. And I can't believe that, like, you had a shoulder 1 year. Most people would have said, let's make sure we get something done. It didn't get done. There is no what can Jerry do to make it right. And everybody, Jerry and those guys, are saying the right thing. That's our future. We're with Dak. But we're going to take the rest of this year. We're going to take the intel that comes in the rest of this year before you make any decision. And the intel will have a bearing. What if Andy Dalton reels off some wins here? Does that not lessen Dak's leverage? Now, they couldn't come to an agreement before. You think Dak's going to say, or Dak's representative, this is not written in stone that this thing's going to play out and Dak's going to return, because you never know. Because the intel that will be taken from him from henceforward to the end of this season will make a difference. If they lose every game and Trevor Lawrence is sitting there, you don't know what's going to happen. It sounds good and everybody's saying the right thing, but we don't know.
Let me ask a hypothetical. You have lived a terrible life. You die and you come back as a wide receiver for the New York Jets. At what point in this season do you ask, do you demand a trade?
You know, football players, man, let me tell you something. We believe no matter where we go, we can make the difference. We can make the change. And you have to believe that, especially if you're going to a place that hasn't done a whole lot of winning lately. You know what I mean? Okay, Bear. Okay, buddy.
I think someone's breaking in your house, Michael. You might want to go take care of that.
No, listen. Bear is a dog. Bear barks only at me. Only at me in his house. Now, I live here, my lady, you know, her mom, sister. I'm the only guy in the house. It's me and Bear. And he only barks at me. I said, Bear, I pay all the bills, Bear. Why are you going to be barking at me in my own house? Like, come on, get on, Bear. Come on. All right, I'm coming. I'm on the phone. So, but yeah. I would change the Jets. I would win. I really do believe if I was there, I would win. That's why it's hard for me to believe they would get rid of a guy like Jamal Adams, because that's what he believes. And you need people like that. That's why you don't see guys running away when they first get there, because they think, I'm going to be the one that's changed this. And it's a great change. It's a great challenge.
I thought Cam Newton would change the fortunes of the New England Patriots. That certainly turned out not to be the case. That is as bad a loss as I can remember a Belichick team taking. How do you explain losing to the Broncos?
And here's what's hard to explain, that Tennessee misses all those practices and play that way. Yeah. And the great Bill Belichick team is missing practices and play the way they played it and say, yeah, you know, we understand we didn't have any practice. But that's what it is. That's what it is. And they did. And Cam did not look good. And they do. That's just what they said. They need the time. They need that time to work. And there's something that's attached more to them in their confidence and everything when they hit the field, because that's what Bill Belichick has engraved in them.
The Michael Irvin Podcast is out now wherever you download your podcast from. You can find it there. I know in your latest episode, you got together with your old coach, Jimmy Johnson. Now, when you're talking to Coach Johnson, is that your Cowboys coach, or is that still your college head coach? When you dream of Jimmy, is he in Hurricane colors, or is he in Cowboy colors?
Hey, Jimmy's both for me. Jimmy's both. I came into Miami as a young kid, and Coach, it was his first year also, you know, and I just lost my father. So for me, it's both. I remember those Miami days. You know, and I remember the great days and the great things that he did here in Dallas with me and for us. So I would always see him with that. I hold him in high esteem. So both. But as he and I always say, college we made money for people. At least in Dallas, we made us some money. You know what I'm saying? So it all worked out.
Well, I tell you, enjoy hanging out with your old coach. Obviously, the podcast gives us a little peek behind the curtain of your relationship. Thank you for having a relationship with us, man. It's always great to talk to you. We appreciate your time, as always, and I'll even put it out there. Good luck to your Cowboys tonight, Michael. Thank you.
Yeah, man, it's going to be something, but we'll watch it and see now. Let's watch it and see. Because Andy has been put on this Dallas Cowboys hype train. And if you listen to people, Andy's gold right now. And I'm like, let's wait. Can we get a few games in here? Can we get a few games? It's just not the reality. So let's see what happens tonight.
the one and only Michael Irvin, NFL Network, the Hall of Famer, the playmaker, and he comes to us here on 95.7 The Game, courtesy of Audie Marin and VW Marin, and we really appreciate the sponsorship. And Michael is fantastic, as always, here with an appearance.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.